Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gives the church hope here. Don't miss the encouraging tone. He starts off in this passage, "My beloved, you've always obeyed, continue to obey." And he continues that encouraging tone in verse 13. He says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So if he had just stopped with work out your own salvation, do and skip to verse 14, do everything without grumbling and disputing, that would have been a pretty hard ask. Had he not encouraged them with verse 13? Paul, in verse 13, is telling the church, look, it's not you and your strength that's going to be able to do this. For it is God, because, that same word, for, is the word because it is God who works in you to do two things, to will and to work for his good pleasure. So you can think of it this way. Think of if you're a mom or dad, at the end of your day, your kids are crazy because they ramp up at the end of the day as they get more tired, right? And at the end of your days, your patience, it's just hard for you to be patient. But you know the Lord wants you to be patient with your children, right? You can, grandparents, take this. Whoever in your life gets on your nerves at whatever time of day. And we may say, I understand how the Lord can give me more patience for my own children. I understand how the Lord can give me strength to keep my mouth shut when I so badly want to open it. Right? I understand how the Lord can give me wisdom to make one decision over another when they seem to be both good decisions. I understand, in other words, how it is God who works in me to work for his good pleasure. What I don't understand, it's harder for us to understand as a church, is how it is God who works in me to will. I think some of us miss this part of this verse. We live as children of God who place faith in Jesus to have done all the work we needed to get into heaven for the forgiveness of sins, adopted in, I mean, children of God. We are children of God, but some of us live as if the Christian life is drudgery. As if it's just work that has to be done. And because God's Spirit is within me, I'll have the strength and the wisdom and the courage to do it, but it doesn't necessarily mean I will want to or I will enjoy it. And I want us to see, myself included, what this verse says. It is God who works in us to will and to work for his good pleasure. So here's the reality that Paul is communicating. The Holy Spirit is communicating to the church at Philippi then and to us today. God doesn't just enable us to obey him. He doesn't just simply give us the strength. He does do that. He doesn't just simply do that, though. When he gives us a new heart, and a new mind, remember Paul's encouragement, have this mind among yourselves, that of Christ Jesus. When he gives us his mind, he gives us the desire to obey him. So people we would have never wanted to serve, when the Holy Spirit works in us, we allow him to mature us and grow us up into Christ's likeness, we will find ourselves yearning to do the things we once would have never done. We will find ourselves desiring to serve our children and to serve our spouses and to serve those people who grate against our nerves that we would have one time avoided at all costs. And this is encouraging. This is encouraging because God is not calling us, he is calling us to do the impossible for us. He is not calling us to do the impossible for him. And he's promising us that he is the one to work in us, to give us the will to do his work, and the strength to to do his work. Do you see it, church? So we can say it like this one more time. Because of what Jesus has done for us, his perfect life, his sacrificial death, his victorious resurrection, and his giving us his Spirit when we place faith in him, we are motivated and we are enabled to obey him. You see it? That's good news. That is good news. I hope you see that today. I hope that changes. If the Christian life to you seems like a life of just servitude and slavery with no joy, I hope that changes your perspective. I hope if that doesn't, that this will. We need to ask a question. Well, first, let's get on to truth piece two, and then we'll ask a question in a moment. Truth piece two is this. You with me? Just making sure. Because we love Jesus, we love others, and we want them to know him. So why is Paul encouraging the church at Philippi in this way? To continue to obey. What reasons? Paul gives them two. Look at verses 15 and 16. He says, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish. So he says, do these things. Continue to work out your salvation. Walk the talk so that you may be these things. Blameless, innocent, children of God, without blemish. In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. You see the contrast? When we walk the talk, we are blameless, innocent, children of God, without blemish. In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. And continue reading. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ Jesus I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Here's the picture. When we walk the talk, when the church at Philippi walked the talk, they shined as lights in the midst of Philippi, in the midst of people who did not know Jesus, some did not want to know Jesus, some didn't know who Jesus was, but in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, when the church at Philippi walked out their faith together, they shined as lights in a dark world. It doesn't say they reflected light. It doesn't say they glowed. It means that they were light givers themselves. And here's what happens when a light is turned on in a dark room. Some of you know this from experience. When you have a rodent problem, you turn on the light and they scatter back into the dark, right? Right? And sometimes that's what happens when we shine in the world. Sometimes people are exposed to the light and they run away from it because they don't want their sin exposed. They don't want to have to deal with the fact that they stand guilty before a holy God. And they will run from it. The church, hear me. Some people will see in the light. They will see their need for the Lord. They will be convicted about their sin. They will be convicted about the truth of what Jesus did for them and the truth of the gospel, and they will repent. And instead of running, they will say, I was once blind, but now I see. So here's the reason that Paul is pleading with the church at Philippi, encouraging them to continue to walk out their salvation. It's this. It's for the sake of the people around them, for the sake of a lost world. But not only that. Look at the last two verses of this passage. Verses 17 and 18. Paul says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. That's a picture of sacrifice and suffering. Paul saying, I've suffered for you so that you would know the gospel and have a relationship with Jesus and walk out your faith. And even if I do suffer, even if I'm poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. So in other words, Paul, when Paul sees the church at Philippi living out their faith, walking the talk, working out their salvation, he has joy in Christ. Joy that the world doesn't have. In verse 18, look at what he says about them. He says, likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. So not only does Paul, who poured into them so that they might know Jesus, but they also have joy. It's a picture of generations of discipleship. When this happens in the church, what happens is boys and girls are raised into knowing Christ. They confess Christ and begin following Him at some point in their lives, and then people, God's people, continue to pour into them. Sunday school teachers, just brothers and sisters in Christ, aunts, uncles who know Jesus, pour into them. As they grow in Christ and they walk out their faith, there is a joy found in the hearts of the people that poured into them. Some of you have experienced that, I hope. I know it to be true in some of your lives. But not only that, there is joy to be found in the heart of the one who is obeying Jesus. So Paul is pleading with the church for the sake of the community of Philippi that doesn't know Jesus, but he's also pleading with the church in Philippi for the sake of their own joy. Walk out your faith because there's joy to be had in him that you won't have otherwise. Here's the reality for us, church. There's so much joy to be had in Jesus. There's so much joy to be had in Jesus. There is joy from following him ourselves and living in him and walking obediently to him ourselves. But there is joy from pouring into the following generations to see the same thing happen in their lives. Joy upon joy upon joy. And some of us are missing that joy today because we have this picture of the Christian life of being a joyless obedience. And nothing could be farther from the truth. You've committed to it, and you are in the midst of walking in it, but somewhere in the midst of growing up in your faith, you miss the fact that there is so much joy to be had in following Jesus. And today, I want to encourage you. Like, if you haven't experienced it, there's so much joy in obeying him. There is so much joy in pouring into the next generations to be had by us. It's just sitting there waiting for us. And some of you may need to come to Christ and just say, Lord, I missed it. I know you love me, but somewhere along the line, I missed the fact that you just supply joy upon joy upon joy for me. So help me to find that this week. Some of you need to cry out to Jesus in that way. Some of you once had it, but in the busyness of your daily lives, you've lost it. And you just need to ask God for it back. Lord, give me the joy of being your child again. I know I never lost my salvation, but I'm joyless as if I didn't have it. So give me my joy back, please, Lord. Joy of walking the talk. Some of you have yet to place faith in Jesus because you think you're the one that has to have the power, the strength, the wisdom, the courage, and the will to obey him. And you know that you'll never have any of those things. And the good news today is God knows that too, and that's why he gave you his son. So the call to you today is not to fix things, not to try to get things, not to try to harder, but to simply surrender to him, to the one who gave his life for you because of his love for you. So whether you're a Christian today and you need to cry out for joy, or you need to pray for someone else's joy in the faith, or you're not a Christian and you need to give your life to the Lord, however he's leading you to respond, I want to ask you to respond today. We're going to sing Because He Lives. And one of the truths of that fact, because he lives, is we have joy in him. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, I pray for Eastside. For the brothers and sisters, myself included, that are part of this faith family. Lord, I pray that we would be known as a people, not just who walk the talk, but have joy in you as a result of walking the talk. And I pray that if anybody has lost that, Lord, you would restore it. Pray that if anybody is here that is in you, that knows you as their Lord and Savior, has trusted you with their whole life, but is yet to experience that kind of joy, I pray that you would give it to them this morning. And Lord, I pray that if there is anybody who is misunderstood the gospel to be something where they have to check the boxes, Lord, I pray that you would change their hearts this morning, give them faith, and that they would place faith alone in your Son for the joy and the salvation of their soul. In the holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down,